Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. On a Monday afternoon, you are listening to this fine program across the Civic Media Network, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side for Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX 1580 AM. Almost slipped up there and called it the former name, but that's okay. I haven't done that yet, but it got close just there. Coming off of this weekend, shaking off the rust, and the big guy, he is in an undisclosed location somewhere in the Fox Valley doing very, very important work. And in his absence, I am joined on this Monday afternoon by Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show across several civic media stations, including WRCE News from the Center, WXCO Bull Falls Radio, our friends up in Wausau carrying Chad Holmes, the Chad Holmes Show right now, as well as Lake Air, WLAK in Amory. Todd Alba, how you doing, my friend?
Absolutely fantastic. Great to see you, as always, Luke. Appreciate the opportunity. I had to change my jersey. I took off the triple A jersey. I put on the major league jersey, and I am set to go.
Stop it.
So here we are across the statewide network, and always glad when you invite me on. So never can replace
It's apples
Brian
to
Kelly.
Oranges, though, too. It is apples to oranges. And you see, you always say that this is the big leagues. I think the big leagues is 3 hours. Doing a three-hour show, that's the big leagues. You got to be ready. You get prepared. Sometimes I get done doing whatever else I'm doing around in the bowels of civic media. Ooh. And I come up for air, and then boom, there's a microphone in front of my face, and I just got to start talking. So you do a three-hour show. That takes a lot more work than what I'm doing here.
It just means that I've been exposed to more politicians over my life. I have a greater ability to BS. I'm more windy. That's all that means.
Okay.
This is, see, talent. It's not quantity of airtime. It's quality of airtime.
We will continue to have that debate over and over again. But
I'm happy to be here.
We really, really appreciate you joining us. And we got Evan on the board. Evan, hope you're doing well. Really appreciate you on those ones and twos. Look at him.
Evan is the best. You get to work with him tomorrow night for election night coverage. You're always, it's like you can sit back, you get on the small jet, you're like, can this thing fly? And then you see that Evan's at the controls, and you're like, oh, I'll enjoy my martini.
There you go.
I'm absolutely in good hand with Captain Evan.
We got a little behind the scenes insight there then. Todd's going to be enjoying his martinis out of his coffee mug tomorrow night during the election night coverage.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
But that does let us feed into our first area, and we'll take tangents throughout the entire hour. If you want to share one, 844-967-2789, you can call or text. You can also tweet the show at Dueling Tangents. But Todd, we've got a statewide primary tomorrow. Have you made a plan to be a voter tomorrow yet?
I have made a plan. My plan is to drive myself to the polls tomorrow, voting in person. And my neighborhood polling place is literally a two-minute drive from my place.
Yes.
So it's not bad. Also, yeah, I'll be voting, driving myself. But everybody should make a plan. Big race, not just the Wisconsin Supreme Court race tomorrow, also referendum, whether you think they should be on there or not, important to vote in them, and also appellate court judges, local races as well. You have mayoral races across the state, so lots to be voting for.
Yes, and I did not vote early, so I will be voting in person as well tomorrow, and I like to walk the dog to the polling place. It's the local library.
Is that an analogy for something?
No, we literally walk the dog. And my fiance and I take turns. The one stays outside of the dog, and the other goes inside and votes, and then vice versa. February primaries may be questionable if that's what we're going to do, just depending on how many people will be in line and what kind of wait would be outside the library tomorrow. But we'll kind of play it by ear. There is some developing forecasts across the state as well, as you you pointed out.
You're laughing.
It's because I never believe there are some reports across the state of Wisconsin that there could be upwards of 18 inches of snow in some portions of the state.
We got it directly from Kara this morning, or Kara, pardon me, Kara, weatherology meteorologist. This ain't Toddy saying this. This is a licensed full bird meteorologist. She's saying, in all seriousness, Amory, that area of the state,
okay,
by, if you count up the snow totals from today, tonight through Thursday, when all is said and done, you may have upwards of 18 inches in Amory.
Wow.
Now, places like Wausau and down Wisconsin Rapids and then down into Richland Center, maybe 12 inches on the high end. And then places like Madison and Waukesha, those areas, much less, maybe 4 to 6 inches, something like that. But everybody's going to see some kind of a snow.
Yeah, it's February, so it's pretty. This back and forth of how nice it was yesterday, 45 degrees. I was walking the dog. It was a sweatshirt. If I have a day like that, easily walking the dog to the polling place tomorrow for the right. primary. If it does turn into, we're already getting flurries tomorrow during the day, and then that snow is coming, then it may be a car ride over to the library right. instead. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But everybody out there in the listening audience, please, if you have not already voted early or returned your absentee ballot, make a plan to be a voter tomorrow, the statewide spring primary, February 21st, all across the state. And then once you've cast your ballot and you want to sit back and relax and hear the results come in, you can tune into civic media around the state of Wisconsin. We will be doing network coverage of races around the entire state, from the top of the ticket with the state Supreme Court race. Two out of the four candidates will move on to the spring general, and all the way down to local races here in Madison, Sun Prairie, and Waukesha, Oshkosh, all Green Bay, all around the state. We are going to cover all those down ballot races as well. So you're going to want to tune in for special election night coverage tomorrow, and you're going to be playing a role in that, Todd.
I, along with news director Terry Bell, will be here at the anchor desk at the world headquarters here in Madison, and we'll be going all over the state. We have Kristen and Jane down in Waukesha anchoring our 7 to 8 o'clock hour, a special extended edition of Devil's Advocates with Crudy and Dom from 6 until 7, and then starting at 8, Terry and I will anchor the coverage here. Other places around the state, other civic media news people joining in as well. So we will do our best to keep our listeners informed and involved, as they say. One important announcement, I just want to get this out there, Luke, because I had Matt Flynn on our program last week talking about this Supreme Court race. Very important, you guys. In the Supreme Court race, you've heard all of us say on all of our shows, the top two vote-getters out of the four tomorrow go on to the general election April. But when you cast your ballot tomorrow, you vote for one candidate, one person. If you vote for two, you have a spoiled ballot. That's a fancy way of saying it ain't going to count.
Yeah.
So don't be confused. I know it's easy to get confused because you keep hearing the top two vote.
Yeah.
But no, only because Matt and I both have people call into our shows that thought they were supposed to vote for two.
Oh.
That is not the case. I have not heard of
a caller asking that question yet, but that is an excellent clarification because, yes, you as a Wisconsin voter get to vote for one of the candidates. It is not ranked choice voting. There are not multiple candidates that you can fill out information for on your ballot. You pick your top choice, and that is your one vote for that.
Correct.
And so that is excellent clarification. And yeah, the ramifications of the state Supreme Court race are going to be huge. Finding out which two are the top vote getters will be part of the coverage tomorrow. But as you said, extended coverage with the Devil's Advocates for a bonus hour, 6 to 7. And then you get extra As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen and Jane as well. And so it's going to be a terrific evening of coverage. You're going to want to tune into civic media all day long tomorrow, from either Up North News with Pat Krylow kicking it off at 6, and then making your plan to go either return your absentee ballot or vote in person when the polls open at 7 a.m. tomorrow, or all the excellent programming, the Todd Alba Show, the Earl Ingram Show, As Goes Wisconsin, Dueling Tangents, and so forth. Tomorrow, big spring primary election day, and here at Civic Media, we're going to be covering that, and we covered a little news. We broke some news ourselves as a network last Friday, Todd, and this will kind of feed into what Brian and I refer to as our Monday morning or Monday afternoon dumpster dive. We're going to go dumpster diving for a little bit of news you may have missed on Friday as the day wrapped up. Going into the weekend, Civic Media announced the acquisition of some more stations, Todd. And we're going to be reaching even more people here in the listening audience across the state of Wisconsin in areas like Eau Claire, La Crosse, Racine, and Kenosha. So some of those spots, as we've told you, where, you know, if you've been paying attention to the map, where we may be popping up next, those cities, Todd, a Civic Media station coming to them soon.
It will not stop. It's like Gilbert Brown back in the day, and incidentally, you can hear Gilbert Brown in Civic Media with the Grave Digger under the helmet on Earl Ingram's show, and then also once a week is it on Sundays or
Saturdays and Sundays at 1 p.m.
There you go, 1 p.m. You can hear Earl's show with the Grave Digger. Just when the Grave Digger was playing, you understand, there was no stop. Because you looked across the line and he looked at the opposition as a cheeseburger. And he wanted the cheeseburger and there was no stop on him. You understand? Yeah. With the Grave Digger, with a Civic Media exactly like that. There is no stop on spreading the truth far and wide across the parameters of the state.
There may be one. There may be one stop. And I think we don't know if it's imaginary or if it's real, but it's definitely keeping us away. That Hodag up there in Rhinelander. We have not quite gotten
Hodag.
Yeah. Apparently fending us off a little bit for now.
I feel before it's all said and done, we will be in the far northern woods.
That was my favorite response by far on Friday as we broke this news. Kristen Bry and Jane Matinere, as goes Wisconsin's Twitter account, goes, our condolences, Rhinelander. Because if you look at a map now, which was included with this breaking news, the press release that went out on Friday evening, there's a Rhinelander is on an island a little bit. And
a little carve out, yeah.
But as goes Wisconsin, just saying, my condolences, Rhinelander, I thought was hilarious.
It was hilarious, but don't forget the Civic Media app.
Oh, yeah.
You can listen to us anywhere.
You can take us anywhere on the go, outside a listening pattern, especially when you leave the state of Wisconsin. You're definitely going to want the Civic Media app downloaded on your phone then. Folks, you were listening to Dueling Tangents. I am Luke Mathers, joined on this Monday afternoon by Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show. We're going to be kicking around some Wisconsin headlines, getting some of the other news that you may have missed going into the weekend in our Monday afternoon dumpster dive, and some more reporting on one of those four Supreme Court candidates.
Oh.
And it's President's Day. I almost forgot.
Happy
President's Day. And we've got a little news about the President of the United States making some news today. So we'll get to that too. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. Stay tuned.
So, folks, let's polka tonight and get to work tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined in studio by Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show across several Civic Media stations. If you want to share a tangent with Todd and I, 844-967-2789. And Todd, one of the other items that you clearly picked up over the weekend, I missed it. It was found here in a dumpster dive when I started looking through what I may have missed going into the weekend, because a lot going on. It's a very hectic time.
It was a busy weekend.
Very busy weekend. Over the weekend, I like to unplug and take some time to try to not focus on the headlines. So I saw this one and I was a little taken aback because it's got a Wisconsin connection. More of a national story, the way it wasn't necessarily picked up in all the local outlets. I found it over at abcnews.com. But the story is that the U.S. Labor Department fines food sanitation contractor $1.5 million for child labor violations with more than 100 minors illegally employed under hazardous conditions. This written up by Noah Minnie over at ABC News. But Todd, the plant is here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, the plant that does the cleaning services.
Yes.
So I want to be clear, the fine went to this place in Grant County. If you're not familiar with where Grant County is, it's down in the southwest, the absolute most southwest corner of the state, basically right across the river from the Mississippi River from Dubuque.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a company that's in Grant County, based there, that does the cleaning services for meat packers like JPS or JBS, pardon me, in places like Nebraska, Iowa, and Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And so what has come out with this Department of Labor investigation was that this cleaning service based in Grant County was employing kids as young children, as young as 13 years old, having them work overnight third shifts, and in some cases using very harsh chemicals that burn their skin with no respirator.
Without proper protection for handling of those chemicals.
Not to mention, of course, there are laws you can't have a 13-year-old working overnight, let alone with those kind of chemicals.
When I saw this story, Todd, along with the fact that we've had ongoing negotiations of whether or not the rail line workers should be striking and these rail derailments happening in East Palestine and in Detroit and Houston, they've been happening in the news over and over again, and now child labor. It almost begs the question, do these stories just never go away? It honestly feels like if you took out some of the details, we could be dealing with headlines from 100 years ago.
Yeah, because exactly.
The workers' rights being really just whittled away when it comes to rail workers, to children being employed in these meatpacking contractors that come in and clean these giant facilities with very dangerous situation for an adult, let alone a 13-year-old or any kind of minor. It just feels like a strange time right now to be seeing these headlines.
It's super strange. And the company, just to make sure we're clear, Packers Sanitation Services, Inc., they go by PSSI. Packers Sanitation Services, Inc. was the Grant County, Wisconsin-based company that does the sanitation for JBS, the meat packers. And we went further. And look, I'm not going to point the finger without pointing it at me. All of us, Luke, when we make decisions about where we buy whatever it is or where we eat, it has implications. So just to make sure that people didn't think that we were just some lefty talk program, we went to the all-knowing Fox Business News website.
Oh, yeah?
And there was a story unrelated, well, kind of. The story a couple years ago was on JBS actually had their website hacked from a company in Brazil. So Fox was taking
it. And JBS does a lot of business in Brazil, though, too.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. And so they were taking this from the perspective, all their computers got hacked. But the interesting thing is Fox Business News went through and listed all, because what they were saying is, what if they have their computers go down, look at all these businesses that will be affected, because here's where JBS sells their meat to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that JBS, some of their biggest clients are McDonald's, Wendy's, Outback Steakhouse. And where else? Costco.
Yeah.
So, look, I said, I'll put myself in this category, right? And I know, look, we also have to realize there are people who are living on fixed incomes. I've been there. I'm not too far away from that right now, where you have to look at your monthly budget and say, yeah, I can't afford to buy the best end meat because it's more expensive. But here's the thing. There are places like the Richland Center, the Richland Locker, in Spring Green, Wisconsin, Prem Meats, all over this state, there are local butchers and locker plants. And I would encourage people, when and if you can, purchase your meat there. Because when we make decisions to buy from Costco and from McDonald's and where, you know what fast food place was not on that list?
Culver's.
You got it.
There you go. Because Culver's has a commitment to local.
That's why Giannis trusts Culver's. You know? He trusts Culver's.
That's because who else is going to be able to turn around 50 burgers fast enough at that quality for him after he drops a record high, I believe, that night, 54.
It was his
personal best. Yep. So, the fact of being aware of how these things are connected, it gets to really a core of what Brian and I sought out to do when we started Dueling Tangents, is things are connected.
Right.
And if you don't talk about them and you don't discuss these things, then you have a hard time seeing those connections. And so, yeah, it is an excellent point that these may feel like a giant corporation decided to employ some miners to clean their facilities. What's the big whoop? They're going to get slapped with a fine. It's going to be end. But no, it is interconnected to everything and the way that we take a lot of how things work for granted and just say, well, that it is what it is. So that's what's going on.
But to your point also, JBS gets slapped at $1.5 million. They're a multi-billion-dollar company. Yep. Nobody's going to jail for this. 13-year-olds are being burned by chemicals. It goes back to the 1%ers in this country that control these corporations who are taking it to the regular person.
Because they probably saved a whole lot more than $1.5 million through those practices. And it absolutely needs to be discussed. And so we're going to continue the conversation with how these headlines relate to each other and take your phone calls. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on this Monday afternoon by Todd Alba, the incredible host of the Todd Alba Show. And we're just getting started. We got some more very important headlines about how things are connected to the past and the future the primary election tomorrow.
I thought you were going to say Incredible Hulk. I have gained a few pounds.
Stop it. This is Dueling Tangents. We will return in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Here comes the meat wagon. Hey, Mom!
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on this Monday afternoon by Todd Alba. And you can join us as well, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. You can also tweet at Dueling Tangents. Follow us on Twitter if you want to stay in the know with what's on our mind, where our train of thought is lingering. You can see that on Twitter. Excellent place for it. You just jump from tangent to tangent sometimes on that one. It's you're a big fan of Twitter too, right?
I am. I'm use that more than anything else. But see, I use it to get information. So I follow all kinds of like legit news services. Good God! I'm sorry.
University Avenue.
Somebody was street racing. I mean, the Daytona 500 is over the weekend. Somebody's still racing. Anyway, sorry, that was a tangent.
That's
there.
Okay.
It was a bright yellow Mustang or something.
I was going to say, some
zoomed
kind of sports
past
car.
Probably at 55 miles an hour in a 25 zone. Anyway, yeah, so I'm a big Twitter follower. I follow like legit news. I get it. I think it's a quick way to get news bits and information.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I follow it.
And it is one of those ones for a really long time where you could create what you were seeing by following only certain things. And now it's changed since a certain former richest man in the world and no longer the richest man in the world. Wonder if the business practices were leading into that. But that's just a tangent for another day. It's a little different now, but it's still got at its core a lot of the premise. You just see random memes tweeted by that individual more frequently because he boosts the algorithm. But it is an excellent source of information because you can find different, you can follow the things that you're interested when it comes to sports, like the Daytona 500, the NBA All-Star game was last night. It was great for content there. Giannis just screaming winner, winner, chicken dinner when he
won it all.
Yeah. His team, he didn't really, it was the first time he beat Team LeBron. And I was a little nervous. The trophy that he was picking up was heavy and he's dealing with a slight wrist injury right now, and so as he like went to go pick up the trophy, he was clearly trying to like scoot it over to his left hand to pick it up that way because he didn't want to put a whole lot of weight on his right hand. But he's going to get his second opinion apparently on the wrist in New York today, and hopefully he'll be back in action when the Bucks are returned to the Pfizer Forum on Friday evening. But he tried to pick up this trophy, and I was like, please don't lift it up with both hands, please, please, please. And he kind of cradled it instead and said winner winner chicken dinner. That was his response. Now he's 1-2 all time against Team LeBron. So he got the victory, scored the first 2 points, and then immediately fouled and got out of the game.
Good for him.
But you can follow that kind of content to see the sports, but you can also then follow content when you find out you wake up on President's Day and the President of the United States took an impromptu trip to, I don't know, for lack of better words, give the middle finger to the leader of Russia by saying, I'm going to go show the solidarity that the United States has with the country of Ukraine and visit Zelensky on President's Day in Kyiv. And that's pretty wild to wake up to on Twitter as well. So what are your thoughts on I know you got a chance with, again, 3 hours of long format talk radio with the Todd Alba Show. But what's a brief tangent you got for what Biden did with his trip to Kyiv today?
Speaking of Twitter, Luke, I think this tells us there's a meme somebody put up called Presidential Leadership has John Kennedy. Ich bin ein Berliner.
Which means I'm a jelly donut, if you actually do the actual translation. But
it's supposed to mean I'm a Berliner. I know. Anyway, President Kennedy from 1963. Then you have tear down this wall, President Reagan from 1987. And today, quote, Kyiv stands, President Biden, February 20th, 2023. And that kind of says it all, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a historic day on President's Day for President Joe Biden making a surprise visit. Apparently reporting this morning on CBS was that the reporters in the pool traveling with the president on Air Force One, when they arrived and aborted Air Force One at Joint Base Andrews, mm-hmm. Just outside of D.C., had their cell phones confiscated by the Secret Service to be put into a box or whatever because they were so sensitive going into a war zone that the reporters weren't even allowed to have access to their phone until the plane landed safely in Kyiv.
Yeah. Well, they didn't land in Kyiv. They landed. He took a 10-hour train ride to get from Poland to Kyiv, from my understanding.
That part I did not know.
From my understanding, the coordination that went into this secret visit is because I don't think that they could fly into the war zone.
So they landed in Poland. Joe Biden takes a train trip to Kyiv.
It is the most on-brand Joe Biden thing in the world, and I think it was terrific. Like riding a secret train into a military war zone and to show your solidarity with a country that is fighting for its independence to hold off the Russian aggression that is going on in Eastern Europe right now, I think it's tremendous. And to anybody that doesn't think that this man is gearing up for a second term or that is capable to run and be the president for another 4 years after this term is completed, I think Joe Biden's on a tour right now saying, oh yeah, you want to bet?
Oh, absolutely.
That's what he's doing right now because this is almost unheard of when it comes to a president going into an active war zone like this and showing support for an ally because this is what the greatest military conflict in continental Europe since
World War II.
Yeah. And it is the 1 year anniversary. This has been going on for a year. It's almost hard to believe that it's only been a year. It feels much longer than that. But the fact that for a lot of professionals in the military world, they thought that if Putin decided to invade Ukraine, that Ukraine would fall and Kyiv would fall very quickly thereafter. And now, about a year later, the president of the United States going and standing in support with our ally in Ukraine, in President Zelensky, I think just sends a tremendous, tremendous message to not only the United States, but the world as a whole. And again, it's showing Putin that This is where he stands on that issue. He's willing to go and take that trip and stand there with Zelensky.
And the irony that Putin, you know, started this in part to divide NATO and to spread more kind of terror across Eastern Europe. All it's done is actually strengthen and add to countries to NATO. And also, we had a caller actually call in from Richland Center this morning on the show when we talked about this. And she had hosted a Ukrainian student 20 plus years ago at a student at UW Richland.
Okay.
And now the son has come here
to UW Richland.
To Richland. And then actually is studying up at Lawrence University as well. And the connection there, right?
Yeah.
To local communities across Wisconsin. But she pointed out, our caller, Mary is her name, pointed out that, yes, number one, as you're saying, it's a big middle finger to Putin. But also we have to remember this is a great reminder to the resolve of the Ukrainian people.
Yeah.
Because none of this, you know, I don't think any of us could ever fathom what they have gone through the last year, being constantly bombarded, losing people close to them,
having war crimes committed against them.
Exactly.
Just the indiscriminate shelling of civilian populations by Russian aggressors is unspeakable.
The kidnapping of thousands of children out of their homes and being taken to Russia. And still the Ukrainian people says, no, we will not give up. and keeps defending democracy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good reminder to those are the real heroes, the Ukrainian people, but certainly to President Biden for, he's clearly gearing up for a re-election. But I think more than anything, it's what we expect an American president to do.
Yeah.
A true example of American presidential leadership, regardless of party.
Yeah, and so I think a very, very telling action by the President of the United States going and showing the country's support, his administration's support to Ukraine. And in some instances, you have to ask. And now this is a little tangential from what's going on in Ukraine. But when there are forces out there trying to divide or sow doubt on issues like the goal of Putin and Russia was to divide the West, to try to break up NATO, try to sow that division. Here in Wisconsin, we've seen division sown over the last 2-3 years about what is acceptable for voting. People have attacked the institution that is guaranteed to all of us to go and voice our opinion when it comes to who we want to vote for. And that division has been festering. It's been taken advantage of by certain people, like a former Supreme Court Justice, Michael Gableman, who for months on end was saying that there was impropriety in the 2020 election here in Wisconsin, that there was widespread voter fraud, and he knew it. The Zuckerberg dollars, what happened in nursing homes, he was going to show that there was some kind of impropriety there. Nothing ever came of a final report. It went away with a whimper. Yeah. He crossed Voss, and Voss fired him. Mm-hmm. He essentially said, fine, you're going to endorse my primary opponent. You no longer get this blank check to go and cast aspersions upon our elections. You don't get to do that anymore. And we now see, Todd, that there are still lingerings of these divisions sown, because tomorrow in the statewide primary that will be taking place, a piece written up by Mitchell Schmidt over at the Wisconsin State Journal headlined Rights Group: Some Clerks Still Telling Disabled Voters They Can't Get Help Filing Ballots in Wisconsin. Still to this day. Now, as Mitchell Schmidt points out in the leadoff of the piece, it's been more than 5 months since a federal court reaffirmed that voters with disabilities are entitled to receive help mailing or delivering absentee ballots, but lingering confusion among some local election officials has left some voters facing continuing barriers to their right to vote.
It's a six commentary, but here's the point, Luke. Republicans are seeing the fruit of their labor, because a lot of what they have done for the last 10 to 15 years in this state is to confuse voters, to gaslight them, to make them afraid. We've talked about this. We see it down in Milwaukee. The playbook is you introduce a voter ID, quote unquote, bill, and then you buy a billboard down in Milwaukee in a neighborhood predominantly of black voters. And you have a scary picture. You have a black man or a woman whose skin is darkened and they're in handcuffs. And the headline in red across the billboard says, voter fraud is punishable by up to 5 years in prison and a $10,000 fine. And you want to scare people. You know, that's the playbook of the Republicans, to scare people from voting, to keep them away. Same thing here. Republicans have harped for the last 2 to 3 years on you can't help somebody vote. That's illegal. And so now they've scared good people in local communities. Well, I'd like to help you, but I don't want to get in trouble for this. And they're hampering people's ability to vote and cast a ballot, which is their constitutional right to do. It's one of the most sick things that any party in this country, any person in this country could do, to deny someone a right to vote. And this is right out of the playbook. This is Republican voter suppression 101.
And it shows you that the division works.
Exactly.
And that's unfortunate. Why it is used as a tactic so often is because it works. And then you find out stories of disabled voters trying to be able to do what is federally allowed, to, with their disability, receive help in filing their absentee ballot. Because, folks, yes, the pandemic stage is starting to wean. We are now more in an endemic phase of the COVID-19 virus. But for individuals with that are immunocompromised or have immunodeficiencies that still have the worst consequences if they do contract the virus, they're still susceptible to that. And so they should absolutely be able to receive assistance for voting absentee to keep themselves safe and to be able to still exercise their constitutional right to vote. And because of these tactics utilized by conservative outlets, Republican elected officials here in Wisconsin for the last better part of 3 years now, is what we're going on. And it's worked. And now we have individuals that are like, they're trying to get that assistance. And the local clerks are saying, oh, I'm sorry, the state law, there was a court ruling. I don't know what's going on. I've been told that I got to really batten down the hatches because there's improprieties when it comes to voting. We don't want any semblance of that. So you can't receive that assistance, even though the federal courts have said, yes, if you have a disability, you can receive assistance in filing your absentee ballot. It is so disgusting. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on this Monday afternoon by Todd Alba. One more segment coming up in the day. Plenty of time for your phone calls. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Monday by Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show that you can catch on WRCE, WXCO, and WLAK, three tremendous stations a part of the Civic Media Network, from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., Monday through Friday. And Todd, you hit with your little tangent. Well, no, as you were discussing, how it was a tactic that Republicans use and how they gaslight. It triggered something. A news story that I forgot. I want to thank again William Walter for filling in last Friday.
Did a great job.
Yeah, he does a tremendous job. Brian and I were at the new facilities and we were getting some stuff done there, so unable to be on the air. I want to thank Will for filling in on Friday afternoon. But one of the things that I saw Thursday evening that caught my eye and I had planned to talk about on Friday but couldn't is a story where that gaslighting, that Republican gaslighting that you referred to, fits in very nicely. But before we get to that story, let's head over to the phone lines. We got our friend Wisco Paul calling in. Wisco, what's on your mind today?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I'd just like to give a shout out to Civic Media Group, getting the truth out there, which is going to be a big help. Instead of having the right-wing blowhards spew lies day in and day out,
Well, they're still going to do that, but we're just offering an alternative on the airwaves, Wisco.
Correct. That's correct. It's an alternative, and you gentlemen are closer to the truth than anybody, so it's going to make a big difference in the state. And the last thing I'm going to say, get out and vote tomorrow, and thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely, Wisco. We appreciate that. And yes, folks, if you have not yet made a plan to be a voter tomorrow, please do so between now and 8 p.m. tomorrow. Polls will close then. You can vote in person. Polls open at 7 a.m. depending on, well, for across the state. You can go to your local polling place, cast your ballot in the spring primary election from 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. tomorrow. And then you can tune into Civic Media for special election night coverage all night long. Todd Alba, Terry Bell hosting that Civic Media coverage. And Todd, this is the story. This is the headline that caught my eye last
Thursday. Give us the headline, Luke. Lay it on
us. This was over at Urban Milwaukee. But the headline is Wisconsin lost 106,000 people under the age of 26 in last decade.
Okay.
Pretty important statistic, or at least a age group to lose that large of a statistic.
Sure.
106,000 people. And this piece, as I said, over at Urban Milwaukee, but originally found at Joel Schultz by Wisconsin Public Radio. And Joe puts this up. And interestingly enough, in the piece, it's talking about a study from Forward Analytics, the research arm of the Wisconsin Counties Association. But there's an interesting quote from an individual in here that I think probably played a larger role in policy in Wisconsin than many other, and very few people have more of an influential role in this last decade than probably this individual in the quote. And the gaslighting is just really interesting, because during the Walker years, the urban-rural divide was really the divide and conquer, as Scott Walker himself referred it to. He was going to divide and conquer anybody that was in opposition to him. And the urban areas were pitted against the more rural areas of the state, and there was resentment there. And there was a lot played up on in the Walker administration and the Walker era policies along that line. And in this piece about how the state has lost since a decade ago when Walker took office, more than 100,000 people under the age of 26, this quote comes up. Wisconsin's image as a rural agrarian state also could be playing a role in its struggles to appeal to younger people, wrote Kurt Bauer, president of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the state's largest business association, in a 2016 trade publication. While Bauer said that the state should be proud of its agriculture sector, he argued it needs to rebrand itself to better reflect its diverse economy. Diversity? Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce playing up diversity? That sounds like some identity politics right there.
Be careful that rural agricultural theory there.
Yeah, I don't want to put any words in his mouth, but we can read this quote. Wisconsin needs to craft an image that accurately reflects and promotes our high quality of life and economic diversity, Bauer wrote. And so, to me, Todd, that seems like gaslighting 101 at its finest. Play up when you see it beneficial, but in the Walker era, as the president of the largest business lobby in the state that is backed openly Republican candidates, said this is the candidate that we want to pick in these races, really just endorsed the Walker era agenda, the Robin Voss agenda. And then now, when a story comes out that we are losing too many young people, he's going to then blame the rural population, the rural image that the state has, as the reason, not the terrible policies that were enacted under the Walker administration, not the fact that people were leaving in droves under the age of 26 during that time. It couldn't have been the policies, Todd. It's the image.
Well, again, it's right out of the Republican playbook 101. They're happy to embrace the rural folks of the state, rural communities, as you said, when it benefits them at the election booth. But then when they want to actually perform policy and attract people, suddenly those folks don't matter. And this is what frustrates me as someone who grew up in a rural part of Wisconsin, in southwest Wisconsin, that I know good folks all across the state from rural areas that listen to civic media, and sometimes kind of out of spite maybe because they don't always agree with us, and that's fine. But just remember, it's the Republicans who are making fun of you and using you behind your back. It's the same thing last week when it came out. We don't want to get too far on that tangent, but the Dominion voting machine trial on Fox News. All right, the same thing happened last week, folks, where this trial came out very, very quickly. And so Dominion, the voting machine company, is suing Fox News, saying because you said our voting machines were terrible, we've lost billions of dollars. That's a very 30,000-foot level of what this is about. There were depositions in that trial. And here's the point. That people, Fox News people, including anchors like Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity and others, under oath, and having to submit their emails and cell phone texts under oath.
Through discovery,
it turned out that they don't believe half the things they say. They know that the 2020 election was valid, and yet they spewed these lies anyway. This is the same thing, you guys. People like Kirk Bauer, who used to be married to my cousin, or her husband, anyway. Anyway, it's a long story. I know the guy, all right?
Yeah.
And they're using, Kirk Bauer doesn't believe half the stuff he says. He's doing it just for political purposes. They're using you, rural Wisconsin. Don't let them do it.
I don't think I can add anything to that, Todd. That's terrific. It is very upsetting that the response is then, We need a rebranding campaign. Just like if we put more flyers in Minneapolis and Chicago, then we can address the worker shortage here in Wisconsin.
Here's a rebranding campaign. Tammy Baldwin actually brought $7 million to Wisconsin for agriculture and dairy. How about that? Those are the people that actually care about your rural Wisconsin.
There you go. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. Really want to thank Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show.
My pleasure.
For joining me on this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow at 2. Talk to y'all then.